So we put Karen on very early in order to make sure that we have that great relationship established. And then Jeff, you may want to stand up and turn around. You saw him this morning. Jeff, we recruited out of Adobe. Jeff ran projects like building Flex. You may have heard of Flex before. He is the marketing guy who's in charge of the team there. He was in charge of enterprise products at Adobe. We recruited him out in the fall time frame. Barry, you all probably know a bit. Barry, we added after we had put our financing in place to come in and do some heavyweight lifting for us. And then Ryan, we added out of EMC Documentum. Ryan is a product marketing guy and will help us make sure we get the Drupal message out appropriately. We added Douglas. Is Douglas in the room? Douglas is in the room. Douglas comes from the company I founded last, which is called Pingtel, and Douglas was a senior engineer there and is God when it comes to comes time to figure out how to relate releases back to open source projects and making sure that that works really smoothly, and we need somebody to do that really well. So Douglas Dredd is there. We most recently added Robert. You all know Robert. And Robert is going to do what he does really well, which is to talk about Drupal to the outside world, training and certification, and a whole bunch of stuff to help make sure that we grow the size of the Drupal sphere a lot. And then most recently, you don't know her, she's in back in the red. Heidi is, we call her Empress of the office. She's in charge. She makes sure that we all are successful at all costs. And so that's who we've added. And the big question is,
we're also looking for more people. So we're hiring, basically. Ideally, we would come out of this conference with a long list of people, which we want to talk more about. We're not going to reach out to individual people, because that would be a lot of work. But if you're interested, you can always approach us, and then we'll take it from there.
I think the issue is also there's just so many people, and not entirely sure who we should be approaching from a formality standpoint. So it's best if you contact us, get in touch. We have a pretty rigorous program in place for helping find the right people inside the organization. A little history is probably useful. This is DrupalCon last year in Sunnyvale at Yahoo, and I went out after having done some Drupal consulting for a few months and fell in love with the project and saw the community, and it was really clear that Drupal had reached a critical mass. I come from the open source community and open source company, open source commercial open source community, and saw there was a critical mass here and got a hold of Dries.
Well, and so at the time I was already thinking about what I should be doing next, and some people might actually remember that from talking to me, because at the time I thought I was like really close to defending my PhD, which due to Drupal was delayed more than I wanted to. However, I was thinking about what I wanted to do after my PhD, and so I had this idea of starting a company and, you know, to help, you know, get Drupal to the next level. And out of the sky dropped Jay with, you know, similar ideas of what we could do with Drupal and how you know such a company would look like. So met with Jay for the very first time at DrupalCon in Sunnyvale.
And we spent the summer brainstorming about what could a company in this space look like that's different from what's going on now. How do we make this successful in a way that's unique inside of the community?
We actually came down to Belgium a few times to to talk more and to create this relation.
We spent a long time to make sure we felt like we were the right people to do this together, and also drink some good Belgian beer. So we had some time, but by the time DrupalCon Barcelona rolled around in the fall, a few things had become kind of obvious.
Well, first of all, Drupal rocks, which we all knew already. I think at that time it really became clear that Drupal was, you know, getting to a tipping point where it was really getting used and, by a lot of people. A lot of people we didn't even know and things like that. So it had really grown beyond the initial group of people, I guess. At least for me, that became really, really clear at in Sunnyvale. However, as I already briefly mentioned, that isn't enough. So, to get Drupal to the next level, we really have to try and grow the existing ecosystem of Drupal players, people in the providing professional services and things like that. So, as I said, I started thinking more about how we could do this and what would be needed for Drupal to grow. And if you look at the other successful open source projects, you'll notice that most of them have healthy commercial backup suppliers. For example, Ubuntu, Zend, Red Hat, and MySQL, they all have a company behind them, which really makes a project happen. So, that's where the idea came from. And similar to what these companies mean to Linux and PHP and MI as well, it's our goal for Acquia to be a healthy commercial supplier and to really take part in the existing ecosystem to help the project grow and get to the next level.
And the question is, what do those companies do? Every one of those companies that you see, that's the commercial open source company, supplies what amounts to a subscription. It's a subscription-based model that provides you with a variety of things. This is a screen clip from the Red Hat store where you buy Red Hat Enterprise Linux Basic, Standard, or Premium. And it's a bit small because it doesn't do a very good job at it. So I'm going to switch actually to showing the MySQL store, which is the same kind of store. And they start with a package distribution. They take the best and worst of whatever they think the code is out there, apply some editorial judgment to say, this is ready for prime time, this is not ready for prime time, these two work well with the kit together, these two don't work well together, and come up with a corpus of code, a body of code, that they then put together as a distribution that they supply as part of it. But that's only part of it. The next thing they do is supply a set of network-based services. The network-based services include things like some update and have the updates a notification, and maybe more than just what we might be provided in Drupal, more context-aware stuff, more information about what, how urgent something is and why you might want to or want not to do something. Security monitoring, performance monitoring, a variety of network-based services that we can provide as part of your subscription. At a different price point, you get some different ones of those services. In addition, you find consultative support. Now, we want to be very careful about the kind of support we're going to do here. We're not just a basic web developer shop. Don't come to us and talk about, I want to build a brochureware site. We're here to help consult on some specific kinds of things that are going to help us inform what needs to be put into the product and services network. The consulting is there to support the product and services, not to be the primary focus of the company. At the same time, we also want to provide your typical technical support desk. When you've got an MySQL question, there's always the big MySQL project that you're building. But there's also the miscellaneous questions that come up from time to time that you just need a technical support person to help you with. So I have a tech center, and the tech center is available at different price points for different kinds of levels of service. Web only, in person, 24/7, whatever it may be. And finally, provide structure around the industry, certification and training so that people can, so the people who are using or are customers start to have some context around how an industry is structured, how the providers are structured. Who's good at what? What kind of expertise do they have? What's the bench depth of the company? What's the capital resources of the company? All those kinds of things are the ways that we can provide structure to the Drupal community in order to help take it to another level. In the end, that model of subscriptions and associated services along with it is a very proven model inside of the open source business and something that we can replicate, both for Acquia's success, but just as importantly, for the success of the community. I think if we're successful at doing this, we grow the community at large because it changes the way Drupal's received. It's not just simply an open source project. Now there's also that same kind of go-to company that there's been in all the other projects. So similar to the way the companies provide those, but those companies provide those things, Acquia will provide software distributions, network services, technical support, and consultative services to in order to support that. So to execute and deliver on that, we're going to do a couple of things. We've created the typical technology company code names. The first one is Cargo. Now you'll notice that in my picture up front there was me on a bicycle. That was because I'm a big cyclist, and so a lot of our code names are going to be very bicycle oriented because that's a good thing to do. Plus it's a national sport in Belgium, it's a good thing. So Carbon is our first distribution. It's the code name for Drupal core and some number of modules that we'll agree to take on and say that we support those modules. And we'll talk more about what it means to support those, and we'll talk about the implications for module maintainers in a couple of slides. But we'll take Drupal 6 core, some number of modules, put them into package installers or different kinds of ways for you to consume them, because different people have different ways to consume Drupal. Put some personal-grade documentation around it, the way that you get if you get one of these other projects that we talked about, as well as some installation config help, and site building 101 cookbooks, and solution cookbooks, and those kinds of things. And that's our first distribution. It won't be in the very first thing, actually a solution install profile. We'll get to those over the course of time, because we want to do them right. But at the beginning, we'll take a core and some number of things and put our name and our company behind it. Over time, that level of stuff grows. The number of modules that we take on grows, and the way we provide them grows into different ways, not just a simple, we support them, but also into install profiles or into other ways of packaging Drupal so that it arrives to you in a solution-specific way. And that grows over the course of time.
Just one small clarification. So when we're talking in the Drupal world about installers, we typically think a Drupal installer. In this case, it could be more than installing just Drupal. It could be installing, you know, Apache and PHP and all these things in one big package.
Okay.
Wanted to clarify that.
If that's carbon, Spokes is the first network set of stuff that we want to talk about. And it's essentially trying to say, how do we take care of carbon when it gets into the field? And carbon is going to be our packaging up of what's ready for prime time, what's not ready for prime time, our exercise of editorial judgment around the Drupal project. And so our system needs to help support that particular packaging and distribution. So the update notification service will be packaged in tune to support the distribution that we'll be building. It'll also, in the end, provide a variety of other things. So we start with Drupal.org will give you the plain, raw, unfiltered alerts as part of the update module. But we'll take and consume those same things, put it in the appropriate dependency graph analysis, put it through our test environment, put it through our own manual editorial look and feel judgment and say, is this ready for prime time? And then add some value-added and enhanced ways that we can say, this isn't ready to be updated because we've got these other two modules that aren't ready to be updated. Or this needs to be updated for these following four reasons. And there's a combined reason across all three or four modules at once. It's not just the isolated things. We try to give the information that gives it, that makes it context aware and makes it value added on top of that.
Some examples of the stuff we might be doing is security audits on the code of the module, performance testing, scalability testing, you know, just to make sure these modules are ready for prime time.
And I think also you'll find that we're going to be very, very testing centric. Driven here, I think, the spark outlet inside of Acquia by Douglas, who comes in, is an extremely test-driven development guy. And you'll see us when we touch code, make sure we're touching it with tests in advance of what we do in terms of code back to contribution. So we're very test-centric, and that will help the Drupal project in general. So the service number one is the updates, and there will be more coming along that over the course of time. So our roadmap is going to be driven in a little bit of an unusual way. Most of the time, software companies have product managers that think about stuff, decide what's going to go into a release, and then announce it to the world. There's been a couple of examples of companies who've done this differently. The first one was Zimbra. Zimbra went out and said, we're going to do our product management entirely in the open. We're going to create a product management site where people vote on what it is that they want to have in the next release. And there's no surprises what's in a release. By the time it's delivered, it's almost like Drupal 6 was. It's all fully known in advance. We all expect it. We expect it to drop on a particular date. Doing product management in the open is very unique for a technology company, but it fits this particular project. The Drupal project is a very highly open, highly communicative project. And it's also useful for us in not just because it helps us communicate in an open environment, but it also helps us because I think it's best for the project if you know what we're doing in advance, rather than just trying to surprise anybody. So doing this in advance is the way to go to acquia.com/projects and help us actually define what it is that's going to be in the carbon and the spokes releases.
Right, and we actually just updated our website last night, so if you haven't checked back, you should go check the website, because there's all kinds of new updates.
And you may need to refresh your cache with Shift Reload.
I did?
Yeah. Thank you, Barry.
And then for the second half of 2008, we hope to release a first version of Spokes and Carbon, as you can see in the slides. So, you know, really soon now we're going to get to work and actually make all of this happen. And then in the future, afterwards, we might be doing more solution-oriented distributions. Whereas Carbon right now is fairly generic, right? We just take a number of modules and it's not specifically targeting one audience. So in the future, we might do more targeted distributions. We'll definitely add more network services, just like on the slide of MySQL, there's a number of performance monitoring, security testing. You know, we might be adding more and more services.
So a longer list of those we want to share.
Sorry?
We have a long list of those.
Yes, we have a very long list of services, and we hope to, you know, to release new services every once in a while. And we might also ship these distributions with value-added software to complement Drupal. An example of that could be, for example, the Solr module, which doesn't only need, you know, Solr, but actually needs a lot more software. And we might package these together in a convenient way and then have you consume these in a very, very easy way.
The goal of that is to make sure that when someone who's downloading a distribution from us
is looking for a solution that does foo. It ought to be all-encompassing. It may need to include analytics. It may need to include a whole bunch of things so that you don't have to self-assemble. We'll try to do a bunch of the assembly up front for you so that you can pull it down and start from the word go and make sure that it's all at a release level that works with each other from one thing to the next.
So what does it mean for me as a module maintainer or core developer? Well, essentially mean that at Acquia we'll have engineers working to help you. We'll step up the plate to help, we'll review your patches, we'll check the stability and the scalability and the security of your modules, and if we find something, we will contribute these back to the community, and we'll work with the maintainers of these modules to help them resolve these problems. It also means that as a company first, we'll get very disciplined about testing and release management in the entire release process, and we hope to expose some of that to the Drupal community at large and to get you guys on board to follow these examples, because that will make our life easier. But we also strongly believe, as I explained this morning in my keynote, that it will actually help the Drupal community advance. So I talked about the release schedule for Drupal 6, for example, and I think that's a good example of how testing can really help us be more productive. Specifically, we're not seeking to replace maintainers or contributors. Instead, we're collaborating with them. And as always, love is silver and gold is gold. So if there's any concerns, just sit back and watch us do it. Because we're almost ready to start.
I think the one of the important things to say here is that to avoid a maintainer, when we decide that we're going to put a module into the distribution, we're committing to our customers to be experts at it. We're committing to our customers to be able to step in and fill gaps in software. If there's some gaps in the software, there's a major market need for it. So if you're a module maintainer, you're going to get a lot of help real soon, and we're going to be there to try to do it. Now, we still have to spool up. We're only a few people right now, and we're going to spool up a little ways and get a little farther along down the path, and we'll be able to step up to help you. But if your module is going to be in our distribution, we hope you like it, because it'll mean that we're going to be there to help you add code, add value, and make it work. There's another question is, if I'm a Drupal solution provider, you're a Drupal shop, it's building websites for people, doing consulting and professional services for your clients. What we want to do is be a partner with you. In the same way that all those other open source companies have solution provider networks and have partner networks, we also want to have partner networks. We're not in the business to supplant you. In fact, we're in the business to try to empower you in some way. We would hope that you would want to take your next solutions and build them on the Acquia distribution so that the customer who has the subscription can get all the performance monitoring, all the security monitoring, all that stuff that we provide as part of our distributions and part of our subscriptions and add that value to your customers. The price points are not going to be overly expensive. Your customers should find those to be very valuable at price points that are very competitive. So we hope that that's actually a good partner for you in terms of making your solutions effective. We also hope that our partner programs, once you get into it, will help you help drive your business. If we do this right, you'll say, I'm classifying Mint and myself into this particular space, I'm really good at this, and when people come to look for the commercial version of this stuff, they'll say, who's the supplier that knows how to deliver this stuff on top of the platform? We'll drive you business and sales leads, and we hope that together then we can be successful. If we do this right, you'll find that if you're proposing that we're your partner as part of one of your engagements in your RFP responses, I think your customers might find it more valuable to say that you got the software company behind Drupal as your partner in your RFPs. And it's more powerful for you to be able to tell your customers that you're doing that as compared to not. I think also, at the end of the day, if we do this right, we reduce your implementation risk by taking some of the drudgery work that you have to do on a constant basis to keep up with the world out of it. You put that on our shoulders, and then we take care of that stuff on an ongoing basis. And if you're an organization, you're an end user, you're not necessarily a Drupal shop, you're a corporation, you're a nonprofit, you're somebody who's actually using Drupal but doesn't have the in-house expertise. Presumably you've already made the decision that Drupal is meeting your technical needs. Drupal's already solving that problem. We're not here to solve the technical problem. We're here to solve your support problem, your service problem. We want to remove that service risk from your decision to adopt Drupal so that as an organization, your IT department can say, yes,
I've got the finger I can point, I've got the throat I can choke, all the various platitudes that you normally hear around software vendors, but nonetheless, we are the company that you can look to do that. So if we do this right, you get the same value from us that you get from the other suppliers or commercial open source software.
I guess I'll take this one. So what does this mean for the Drupal community, for the people in the audience? Well, it means that we'll be building a lot of software, and that we'll also be giving a lot back to the community in terms of actions, in terms of usability improvements, in terms of test results, all that kind of stuff. And as such, we'll invest in the community and in the marketing development of the community. We'll be helping organizing DrupalCons. We'll set up regional Drupal meetings, we'll do code sprints, partner programs, training, certification, as explained. And, we'll start all sorts of initiatives which we think are important for the Drupal community and which can help us grow.
There's a couple things to say here. One is that we're going to only be one of an entire room of developers that were next door in this room. And there's no way that Acquia expects to be able to completely drive Drupal by itself. It's just not in the cards. In fact, that would lose the value of the community that's here if we didn't immediately say the real value of Drupal is in 900 people showing up in an audience that all contribute to Drupal. But at the same time, there's some things that we can do that people aren't incented to do as part of a professional services organization or an internal project, and things that we can step up to the plate to help with just to make sure the stuff gets done. For example, hiring Gabor to just work on Drupal 6 to close it and get it done and get it out the door. No other job, just gets Drupal 6 out the door. Not have to share that job with other professional services engagements or other internal website projects. Just work on Drupal 6. That's the kind of thing that we can do as an organization because we're incented to do it. If Drupal as a project is successful, we'll be successful, so we can do that. The other thing we can do is to look at things that are very much more squishy, less code, more about organization and marketing. So we can think about how do we take Drupal to a larger community than the people that are here. We maintain this wonderful 50% growth, 100% growth rate every year, but once you get to 1,000 people in a room, maintaining a 100% growth rate requires a lot more attention. So we can do some things because it's in our interest to do them around marketing and visibility and stuff like that to help the entire community think outside of the drop. And as an example, in preparation for DrupalCon, and also in preparation for telling you a little more detail about what we're doing, we did a press and analyst tour in the last week or 10 days where Jeff and Brian and I and Dries went and talked to a bunch of people who are blogging it now, and in fact today there's a whole unleashed flood of stuff that's out in the web sphere that's we'll talk about more about Drupal in places where you may not have heard it before. Let's give you just an example of some of the slides that we took. Two people who've never really heard about Drupal very much don't know why it's interesting or relevant. You'll know most of the information that's on this slide, but I just want to show you how we'll structure the information and take it to the outside world. So we start by talking, about halfway through the pitch, we talk about where's Drupal's sweet spot. Drupal really excels in certain areas and not in others today. And though it can excel in a lot of areas as it goes forward, there are certain places where it just is an automatic winner today. One is where the requirements span multiple content categories, whether they be CMS or blogs or wikis or forum or those kinds of things, social networking things. Also where people would rather build than buy. Where they see software as a service as restrictive, they're concerned about data privacy or ownership, other security things, enough control over the environment, so when people want to build versus buy, they'll tend to select Drupal. Where the adoption is grassroots driven, we've got lots of examples of people, as we went out and did our due diligence around whether there's a company opportunity here or not, talking to people about how they adopted Drupal. It was almost always coming from the programmers in who said, I can do this faster in Drupal than whatever other commercial thing you want to do. Go grab it, install it, and run with it. So grassroots driven is where Drupal works well. Where the budget's limited, because it's free and open source, people will go look for that kind of stuff very quickly. Where LAMP is preferred. There's the LAMP tribe and there's the Java tribe. And most of the time these days, people don't argue much about whether it should be one or the other. They just are. And so if you're a LAMP person, Drupal is a great place to be. And if your proprietary CMS has just proven to be more trouble than it's worth and just want to try something new, these are the places where Drupal will succeed well. And without having to walk down all of these, we'll then contrast how Drupal wins against those kinds of problems, where Drupal's ability to take core plus X number of modules gets you 85% of your website in about an hour. And then you theme it, and you do a couple of modules of your own in a couple of weeks, and bam, you're done. So those kinds of things that we'll talk about with the analysts and press will help them understand why Drupal wins in these kinds of environments.
about the size of the contributed library, about the size of the community, those type of things. We'll talk about, for instance, where does Drupal fit? If you look at its classic positioning, it's as a web CMS. But as we've all thought, probably it's also a place where I develop web applications. So is it a web development framework or an application framework? And most of the time you see Drupal used in places where there's a lot of social interaction, where the contributors or the visitors to the website are contributing content. And in places like that, it's more like a social networking platform than it is just a CMS. And so it is, in which of those categories should you talk if you're talking to an analyst or to the press? Who's the guy who covers this? Who's the white guy who's going to write, or the woman who's going to write about it in some place? And at the end of the day, I think we sense that amongst the people who are talking about this, the analysts and the press, there's a recognition that there's a new kind of category of software. And we proposed a name to the outside world to see how it flies, and whether or not they adopt it or not depends on whether they, I think, as analysts decide it's a good thing to do. Sometimes they like to own the name. But the concept is social publishing, or social publishing system. And that has a couple of elements to it. Number one is publishing, the traditional CMS thing, where I can write content and have it be in the outside world. But social in the fact that it's much more about the inbound content coming from people who are visitors or the collaboration part of blogs. And it's a system because it's a web application framework. So some kind of social publishing system is what Drupal ends up being in the marketplace. And if you then try to make a matrix, it says, well, who are all the competitors to Drupal then, if you're going to talk about it like that? One is, what's the breadth of capability for social publishing? And the other is, what's the size of the community? So the community is one of Drupal's strengths, its key strength. So if you put those two on an axis, you can then start to say, well, how do people fare in that space? And of course, we as a community want Drupal to be in the upper right, because that's the classic place where winners are. So we can start to create these pictures for the analysts.
Where would you put Facebook?
Let's put it out to the end. I want to keep going on the presentation. We'll come to questions at the end. So then we can help them understand how big Drupal is. And I'm not sure all of you have seen the actual numbers here, but you've seen some of them here and there. But we condense them into one place. A couple of million downloads. 100% year-over-year growth rate. 85,000 downloads a month in January, and that was pre-Drupal 5. We're hitting 100,000 downloads a month very quickly. 250,000 Drupal Dollar members. The numbers just go on and on. People actually don't have any idea how big and how this project is and how big the community is until we start to put this all in one place.
And some of these numbers really blew some of the analysts away. Like the fact that we have 900 people contributing to Drupal Core was something which they found very hard to grok compared to some of the other open source systems. So telling this message has been very useful to get their eyes open by Drupal. So.
And we'll take and map out website rank. If we compare Drupal.org's website traffic rank on Alexa.com with some of the other projects like MySQL, Red Hat, and others, you'll see that blue line that's up near the top red line is Drupal, and the red line at the top is MySQL. So if MySQL's website and Drupal.org's website are getting similar traffic, that's a significant piece of data. Particularly since that axis on the left is a log axis. So it's 10 times the size of Red Hat. Red Hat's own traffic on its own website. So we can do those kinds of things to take that message to the community and make sure that they understand what we're doing, what Drupal is as a project, how big and how significant it is, and that kind of thing. So that's another one of the things that it means to the community. The community can rely on us to take this stuff and package it up to the outside world. There's one more, what does it mean? And that's, what does it mean for Greece?
So a lot of people have questions about this, of course, and it's quite understandable. And for me, that was also a very important question, because I love nothing more than to work with the Drupal community and to help the Drupal community get their stuff taken care of and done. And so as part of the starting the company, we spend a lot of time talking about how we could make sure that I can continue to do my work as a Drupal project lead. Together with Jay, but also together with the investors and all the people involved. And I've been specifically allowed to continue to work on the full core, and I can do that up to 2 days a week, business hours, and much more after hours, or whatever. And this can be pure Drupal project work, this can be Drupal association work, Drupal coding, or just acting as a public face of Drupal, anything really. And specifically, they allowed me to make decisions which are not in the best interest of Acquia, for example, when it comes to the Drupal Association or when it comes to the Drupal project. I can continue to make decisions based on technical merits instead of what other motivations might be there. And for me, this was the single most important thing of the fundraising process, getting these rules on paper and making sure that everybody understood my position and that they supported this. And the goals of this were fairness, community empowerment, and mutual success, because I believe that the Drupal community is the strength of the Drupal project. Without the community, there is no project. And my role as I guess as a project lead, I don't want to disrupt the forces, so to speak, and therefore, I can continue to be the old trees and do what I enjoy doing most.
So at the end of the day, we still believe Drupal rocks. There's no question about it. It's an amazing project. The community is amazing, and what we want to do is be the asset to the community. As we sat down together and we were talking to investors about making sure we had enough capital to do this right, one of the things we said over and over again is, if in 18 to 24 months the community doesn't think that Acquia has been a massive help to the community, we will have failed. Making sure that we support the community, empower the community, make sure that they're getting mutual benefit out of each other is really, really, really important for us. So you should know that's at the top of our list, and it's in every conversation we have every day. And we're actually, in order to make sure we do that right, we're inviting you to help us get it right. There's been a lot of speculation coming up to today about what we're doing. We wanted to make sure we had a lot of people around and we could do this in an organized way. We talked about it, so we've been a little quieter than we would like to be going forward. But in the long term, we'll get this right if we're interactive with you. We don't want you to speculate about how we're going to work with the community. We want to be a reflection of the community. We don't want to necessarily be saying, we're smarter than you, we can do anything. We want to absolutely take our cues from what the community needs us to do to help support the community that can also help us build a substantial business out of this and make sure that we take Drupal to a nice commercial level. So come to acquia.com/projects. Tell us what you think about Spokes. Tell us what you think about Carbon. Help us get those things right to support you and your needs. And if we do that right, we'll succeed together. That's it. So with that, I think it's best if maybe come and get to the microphone so that we can make sure, or Hans can bring the mic to you. Oh.
Great. Well, first off, thanks for the info. I'm Jim Edgett from Achieve Internet, and obviously our focus is on delivering Drupal projects to the enterprise. So, a couple of questions. Will you do unit testing on all the modules? Because I think that will obviously help us. And then as corollary to that, we'd like to understand the certification programs and the training programs to make sure our software developers are certified so we can deploy your solution as part of ours. So if you could just share your thoughts on that.
Great. So will we do unit testing on modules? It's probably not realistic for us to start writing unit tests for every single module which we want to support. However, we want to encourage the Drupal community to help write unit tests. And whenever a bug fixes, and so when a customer of us reports a bug, we'll fix it and we'll supply the fix and the unit test. So over time, we're building this large database of unit tests. And it might be the case that we'll have people writing unit tests up front as well. There is no guarantee that we'll be able to, sit down and spend 6 months writing unit tests with 30 people or something. It will grow over time. We'll make a significant contribution to the testing network. But the only way to really make it work and to make it scalable is to get your involvement. When picking Drupal modules which we might want to support, the availability of unit tests might also be one of the selection criteria for us. So it's going to be a combination of different things.
There's too much corpus in place now to write unit tests for everything. And it also presumes that we're the only one who should be writing tests in life. This is a community, it's a project, and we're not big enough to write all these tests. At the same time, we can help with some gentle suggestions, like we'll take your module and support it if it's got tests, or we won't take it if it won't. Those kinds of gentle encouragements. And then also, we're going to be very rigorous on the inside, but all code we develop will have tests associated with it. So we'll help drive the test industry. And over the course of time, that will improve. Relative to certification and training programs, we're building them now. See Chuck and see Robert. And these guys here are going to be ones who are going to be trying to build them. We've got good expertise in place to try to help get that stuff done. We'd love to reflect your requirements as well. We'd love to set the bar high. We're going to have a collection of things that allow us to say, you know, bucket you into various kinds of buckets. So we're designing them now in real time. Robert's been with us, you know, a week and a half, and Chuck starts in a week and a half. So that's how far along we are. Next question.
Yeah, hi, Joe Bacano from DCI. And with the distribution model comes obviously power and responsibility. And of course, everybody knows that every partner can be treated equally. But in the case of things like larger companies or smaller companies or issues of partner conflicts, let's say on a deal, how do you foresee, first of all, is who in your organization can be managing the partner program, defining the rules, perhaps setting tiers for partnership, and then just dealing with any kind of ad hoc issues that come up to just overcome that are inevitable?
A bunch of things, and Jeff will have a lot to say about that. Jeff comes from companies that have big partner programs, so why don't you speak a bit about that?
Sure. So this is actually on?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to build a partner program, and it's going to have tiers in it, and have enablement as part of it. And as we start building out our sales force, which will come around the time we make these available.
Hold the mic closer.
We'll have a whole series of engagement rules of engagement for how we engage with partners and how we work deals with partners so that no partner is disadvantaged. We don't want to be playing favorites to the extent that we can possibly avoid it. But at the same time, we have to make sure that that we do enable customers to make good choices. So that's what certification and other things can help people do. But in the end, you're going to have to succeed or fail based on your merits, not on what Mark Rita says.
One term that's inside of our company from bottom to top, it has been since the day we started, and that is the Drupal community is driven by merit. It's a meritocracy. You do, you get it done. You don't do, you talk. You only get a little bit of listen. And our job is going to be to do. And if you do, as a developer and as a professional services partner, it will help. It's all about merit. It's the way the community works.
Okay, so a question right at the back of the room. We got one further question. No? All right. Why don't you give us one of these books up here?
There's no economic relationship between us and the module developers. We've seen other projects try to engage with module developers or code developers and say, we'll pay you for this or we'll pay you for that, and try to get some cash thrown out here and there. Almost as a rule, it's failed miserably. It's hurt the community. It's not been a good relationship with the project. There may be once in a while an exception. We just got to figure out how to get this done. The expert's available. It's got to be done right now. We can hire a consultant to finish it. Almost as if we were hiring a consulting program ourselves to go do something. But in general, we want to make sure this is a collaborative arrangement. We're not going to be saying, hey, we need this done. We'll pay $1,000 for somebody to do this. It's not part of the plan.
So we have full-time engineers working on all of these projects all over the map instead of, you know, writing small checks to a lot of senior individuals, because everybody will come back to us, you know, holding their hands open. So we believe that the only sane solution is to just have a number of engineers working with the community, covering a number of projects and helping them advance.
Hi. Thanks again also for coming today and having such a great presence here. It seems like Drupal solves or has the potential to solve lots of different business issues. I was wondering if you could comment a bit more on the selection criteria as you guys develop the Carbon, those 30 modules. I mean, you could take any one of those, like events, for example, and start looking into an industry like events management and really have a lot of different needs. I'm just curious about how you guys will, you know, what will drive that selection process.
It's a great question. It goes back to in the open product management. Where does the community run? If you look at what's happened really well in the Eclipse community, Eclipse has a really nice system in their Bugzilla area where you vote for what you want to get fixed.
And you get, it's like the old product management thing. You have, if you have $10 to spend, what do you want to spend it on this list of stuff? It'll be the same thing, just go up with points. And you'll say, this is what people want, this is what we'll fix, and what we'll fix. Now that doesn't always go to what module should be in there, and are we solving a particular solution problem? We as a vendor are going to be looking specifically at areas like digital media, or intranet, or things like that, and making sure there's proper coverage in all of those, and if there's a module that needs to get pulled in, in order to pull one of those in, we'll go look at the population of modules that exist, and say, is there one that fits this particular gap? So over the course of time, as we start to do solution-specific packages, what we do, we'll look at the actual marketplace requirements in that and map that to the required modules. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Good start.
Two more questions.
So I'm Tiffany Barron from Palantir, Chicago. We do primarily educational cultural and platform. And one of the things that's been hardest for me, as we've been very circle, is that you tell them about upgrade cycle,
So I don't think we have a definite answer there, but I would suspect that we would be maintaining versions for a much longer time than the Drupal community does, because that's the contract we have with the customers to actually help them support through their entire life cycle. But at the same time, we'll have to move customers over to the next great version.
We hope we can balance that. Clearly, providing corporate stability over long term is one of the roles a company like us can do. But at the same time, he's right. Drupal moves quickly, we need to help people move. I think we're getting disrupted from the back. Do we want to do one more? And then we got to go.
Great job, you guys. Just wanted to point out there's two moving targets here. One is the introduction of Acquia, which is a major step in the life cycle of Drupal. And the other is that the community, just on its own, and what drove Acquia to get involved, is that the community is growing very quickly. So the community, just by its very nature, is going to go through some growing pains. And people shouldn't confuse the emergence of Acquia. In other words, some people might suggest that some pain comes up in the future. Oh, it's because Acquia got in there. It's not. It's because we're really growing. And what I wanted to encourage Dries to do is, just like in the past 6 months, he's really pushed us on usability. Completely independent of Acquia and all this ecosystem, that, you know, part of your greatness as a lead is that you're helping the community and pushing the community to think about what maybe as developers they wouldn't think of so naturally. So just keep going with that.
Definitely. I mean, there's too many big problems that need to be solved. And there's no way Acquia can step forward to solve all those problems. I mean, that's just not possible. I mean, we're only 11 people. And there's all of these Drupal shops out there with like 30, 40, 50 people. So in terms of human resources, we're going to not be the biggest Drupal company around. So we'll help. We'll try to help. But at the same time, we're not the sole driver of fixing all the problems out there.
I want to take another part of what you said, too. You talked about the community expanding. And we've seen that just in helping watch how the registrations have happened here for DrupalCon, about the changing nature of the community. And that will continue. If you look back at the Linux world and how that grew from pure, Richard Solomon's into now, it's essentially Linux world is populated by the guys from Merrill Lynch. And this community is going to go through similar cycles. I don't think it has to necessarily destroy the community, but it's going to grow, and we have to be capable in the same way that we've taken on the technical challenge to take on the challenge of embracing and working with new types of people who will show up at the door. Because if we make this commercially swallowable, more commercial people are going to show up at the door with suits and ties. We just have to make sure that they're happy, but at the same time we don't lose the spirit of the community. Thank you all.